Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
I was driving in my car just asking God what to... I've been learning how to just hear his voice and listen to him on what to share on. But I really felt him just put this on my heart to speak on the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. So this is very different than a natural wisdom, than an academic wisdom, that wisdom that you can learn from Google University or Wikipedia or from going to school. The spirit of wisdom is a supernatural wisdom. And I felt God saying, in the times we're living in right now, the issues we're facing, the problems we're facing, that there aren't always going to be natural answers available. So you're going to have to tap into the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit of wisdom will give you a supernatural answer, a supernatural wisdom for dealing with issues that you are facing. We are here for a purpose in the time we live in right now, but sometimes we'll be running out of natural means to accomplish what we need to accomplish. So we're going to really have to listen and tap into that supernatural spirit of wisdom. You know, the Christian believer is not created to live just a natural life. You know, you are created in Christ. When you're born again, you are made alive. You are created new in Christ. And Christ was raised up from the dead supernaturally. So you are made a new creature in Christ supernaturally. You've been created for a supernatural life. You know, we are supposed to affect the world in a supernatural way. We're supposed to live in a supernatural way. We're not just a bag of bones. Amen. We're to live with divine purpose, with a supernatural purpose. We're supposed to solve the unsolvable problems. And to do that, you will need a spirit of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. I love what Paul prays in Ephesians 1. Let's go here really quick. Ephesians 1, verse 15. We'll start in verse 15. And I love this prayer. I wish more people would pray this kind of prayer. I remember when I was in college, I tried to go to the different Christian gatherings, I go to different Bible studies, but whenever I went to a lot of prayer meetings, I just cringe because you really hear people's theology when they pray. And I wish more people had a revelation like Paul did and who they are in Christ and pray from that revelation. So let's read this here. First, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. There is a spirit of wisdom that can be given to us. It says, and the revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Man, what a prayer. That's a prayer that preaches. Man, that is a prayer just full of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And he's praying that these believers would tap into that spirit of wisdom. There is a spirit of wisdom that is available to us. Again, it's not a natural wisdom. It's a spiritual reality that will impact the natural world around you in a big way. Again, you're going to face problems in the natural that you have no natural answer for. Especially in the days we're living in, this might happen to you. You might be facing a natural problem right now that there are no natural answers for. The spirit of wisdom is there for you to give you an answer. And when God gives you an answer, when he speaks to you, when he gives you that spirit of wisdom, he's going to confirm it. You have to listen and step out. He will confirm it. He's done it in my life. And when you go back and look at it, you're going to say, that was God. That was his wisdom. There's no way I could have figured that out on my own. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not. Amen. That was not me. That was completely God. You know, we were facing a problem in the natural just a couple weeks ago. We personally, Heather and I, had made a vow that Fisher would not wear a mask to school ever again. And I had also said I really didn't want to homeschool Fisher at the time. I didn't think that was necessarily the best thing at this time. And you know, we've been talking about this for a while, and the whole school thing has just been weighing on our hearts since we first got married 2.5 years ago. And just the evilness that is in the government is coming out more and more and more and more. You know, especially in this state. You know, the state health department here has a survey that they give kids. Junior high kids, a health survey. On the very first page, they ask you, are you straight? Are you homosexual? Are you transgender? What do you identify? Right off the bat. Right off the bat. That is sick and disgusting and evil and perverse. They ask that to 10-year-old kids. And they think that's normal. It's perversion. And D11 just voted, yes, we want to give this survey to all of our kids. That's perversion. That's wickedness. That is evil.
Amen.
Pure evil.
Right.
Now, I made some comments on the D11 Facebook page. They banned me. And then we've been attacked. You know, people set up fake accounts. No, it's okay. Yeah, there is a lot of disgusting, perverse people out there. Complete perversion, complete wickedness. There is a God. He has made it abundantly evident that there is a God. There is truth. There is right. There is wrong. There is eternal judgment. There is one way to be saved. But we have a spirit of wisdom available to us. God helped us big time. You know, Fisher was able to get into a great charter school last minute. Normally, it takes years to get into this particular charter school. He got in. You know, when the mask mandate came out a week and a half ago on Friday at 4:55 p.m., you know, I filled out an application for this school at 5:10 p.m. Friday. You know, we were ready to do whatever it took. We said our 7-year-old kid would not wear a mask to school all day. That's just not fair. He has a 0% chance of dying. He's not a threat to anybody, period. It's his right to go to school. It's also the parents' right to make medical health decisions for their kids. Amen. I think Andrew Womack stole my line Sunday. I told him this right before service and he stole my line, but I said, you know, the state health department can't figure out what a woman is. I don't want them deciding if my kids should wear a mask or not. If you're not smart enough to know what a woman is, then you're not smart enough to, you know, if my kid should wear a mask or not. And I know my kid, there's a 0% chance of him dying. There's a 0% chance of him killing someone else. And I know, like, it's his right to go to public school. I pay taxes, and it's my right as a parent to make health decisions for my child. And the whole mask thing is just trying to tamper with parents' rights. And the governor and his minions, his evil, corrupt, perverse minions that work in the state health department, they're not making that mandate themselves because they know it's illegal and they'll get sued over it. So they're making rules that force school districts to go along with that. Because they don't want to take the hit. They'd rather have the superintendent and the school board take the hit for them. And they know what they're doing. And it's wicked, and it's perverse. And if they don't repent, they're going to reap what they sow. God is not mocked. God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. So I called this charter school at 7:30 Monday morning. Is there any chance he can get in? They said, well, the deadline is just in a few days. Let me look up the waiting list. Well, he's third on the waiting list. I don't think he'll get in, but if he does, you'll get an email. Dropped him off at school at 8:30. I said, Fisher, you're not to wear a mask. You're not to argue with your teachers, or argue with the principal. It's not your fight. It's mom and dad's fight. Here's a letter from mom and dad saying, we told him not to wear a mask. If you have a problem with it, contact us. And he never, I at around 10:30, Heather wanted me to just go pick him up. She hadn't heard, we thought we'd get a call from the school. But I just went and picked him up. He was doing fine. I asked him after we left, did you have to wear a mask? Did anyone say anything? He said, no one said anything. And just later on in the day, we found out that his teacher pulled his desk away from the other students. The same teacher who hasn't worn a mask all year, and 90% of the kids haven't been wearing masks, but now he all of a sudden has cooties, and we're gonna separate him from all the pods that they're, seated together in. So let's start discriminating against 7-year-old kids who wear masks or not wear masks. Let's discriminate against vaccinated people. Let's just discriminate. There is some sick, perverse stuff going on in the world today. But I believe that God is making his spirit of wisdom available to every believer today in a big way in how to navigate what's going on in your life. Fisher, that same morning, we got an email saying he's accepted to this school. His new teacher actually comes to church here. She had been praying that she'd have a PK in her class. The next day, a girl told Fisher, I love you. His mom was thinking about maybe pulling him out of school now. No. But he's somewhere where he's celebrated now rather than... Amen. That was a God thing. God worked that out in a supernatural way, and that's something that's been just weighing on us for 2 years now. But we can tap into that spirit of wisdom, and that spirit of wisdom, it's a supernatural thing. It's beyond natural wisdom. And people, when they look at your life, they're going to be able to see it. They're going to see, man, that is impacted. What they have accomplished, they aren't smart enough to do that. They aren't talented enough. They don't know enough. They aren't well connected enough. Even the ungodly people will say that had to be God. Your life will bring glory to God. Amen. So when you're kind of facing these situations, don't just look at them in the natural. Don't just get worked up in the natural. Look at things with the spirit of wisdom. You need to learn to make decisions and look at things with this spirit of wisdom. Too many believers make decisions just carnally. How do you distinguish between a carnal decision and a spiritual decision? A carnal decision, it's motivated by the flesh. You're making a decision based upon a feeling of hate, strife, bitterness, jealousy, selfish ambitions, envy. Those decisions motivated by those feelings, that type of negativity, those are carnal decisions. But decisions that are motivated out of the spirit, kind of tapping into the spirit of wisdom, they're decisions that are made according to the word, decisions motivated by love, by God's kind of love, supernatural, unexplainable, unconditional, agape love, decisions that are motivated by peacemaking, by goodness, by joy, by truth, by beauty. I love this verse in Romans 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We need to keep tapping into that spiritual mindedness where we find that spirit of wisdom. And again, it's available to every believer. So this is my first point tonight, talking about the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom comes first from knowing Jesus. That same Holy Spirit that revealed to you the lordship of Jesus, that worked on your heart and convinced you that Jesus is Lord. He is who he said he is. He died. He was buried. He was raised again. He's now seated eternally with our Heavenly Father, and he's coming in. That same Holy Spirit that revealed that to you, he's available to you right now in your everyday life. Does that make sense? And when you know Jesus, you can tap into that spirit of wisdom. Isaiah, I love this. Isaiah 11, verse 1 and 2. You can go ahead and turn there. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. I love the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of the Lord brings that wisdom. And I love that. That spirit of wisdom, it comes from Jesus. It brings understanding. It brings us supernatural counsel and might. And again, these challenges that we're facing, we can't just fight them in the natural. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. We have a mighty spirit of wisdom. Amen. That spirit of wisdom, it is a mighty force. It is a mighty weapon for the warfare that we face today. And we have the mind of Christ. We are not confused. Don't confess that I'm trapped, I'm stuck, I don't know what to do, I'm doomed. No, we have the mind of Christ. Jesus Christ is undefeated. He is the undefeated, unconquerable champion of this universe. He was with the Father in the beginning. Man, I don't know how anyone can deny God's existence. You know, Fisher's learning about the seasons and the tilt of the earth and how the earth spins. And I just think about how the earth is spinning right now. And how we all just aren't flung out into space and or flung into the sun. And just when you look at God's creation, it's just, there's no way we can ever understand everything out there. And Jesus was there with the Father just in all that wisdom and all that knowledge and all that beauty and all that just power. And we have the mind of Christ. So don't confess that you're dumb, that you're not smart enough, that you're, you know, the Fisher's new school, it's like a notch higher. He's like running in first gear, now it's like fifth gear. And so Dad has a lot more homework to do now. With Fisher, and we're sitting down doing these, you know, math problems he had, and he's supposed to, you know, do so many problems in 4 minutes, and you only have 4 minutes, and the first few days, he'd just get through like six out of 40 problems. But just yesterday, I learned from Pastor Lawson how to just drive people a little bit. And Fisher's issue wasn't so much that like he can't do the math, but it's more like his attention span will get off a little bit, the focus factor. So I just kept him focused for 4 minutes. Go, go, go. He made it like, he got 36 out of 40 right. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't let him, and he'd try to stop and say, I don't know this line, but I'd be like, no, you know it. And I was coaching him. My dad was a good coach. That's for sure. He's a driver academically, musically, and athletically. He just came to Fisher, his first soccer game with Fisher, and Fisher, I had two younger brothers, so I grew up tough. You had to learn how to fight if you wanted to survive, but Fisher, he's just 7, and, you know, little Ada's 10 months, so he doesn't have to fight too hard to survive. So first few games, he was scared to hurt other kids, and you know, he had one time he had a clear shot at the goal, but he, like, kicked it away from the goal because he wanted to give the ball to someone else to have a chance to. And I said, tell Fisher, we're going to try to play soccer a little different. You're going to try to do it the Purdue way of playing sports, which is fight to the death. And he's more of a spiritual person than his carnal dad is. So I had to find a way to help him tap into that carnal nature, which is, hey, if you kick a goal, I will buy you Baskin-Robbins. So that was his motivator there. So right at this game, right off the bat, he actually started playing really tough. He's like pushing kids around and got that ball and kicked a goal right off the bat. And I was so proud of him, I took him to Baskin-Robbins and bought him an ice cream cake. Went all out. Yeah, I'm a little different than my dad. My dad would get the kitty scoop for us, probably. Or no, here, share this scoop with me. And you get 2 bites and I'll eat the rest. So we have the mind of Christ that way he may instruct us. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, I love what the Bible says just about the wisdom that Jesus has. Chapter 2, verse 3 in Colossians says this, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I love that. Man, in Christ are hidden all the whatever you need wisdom for. I love what the Bible says. If you lack wisdom, ask of him, and he'll give it to you liberally. I think people just, and there's so much wisdom available to the believer. But I think sometimes we're not even tapping into that. And I was kind of thinking about why aren't people really tapping into that spirit of wisdom when it's available to them? You know, because some things are hidden. Some things you're going to have to dig for. Some things you're going to have to look for. How do you find hidden treasure? You got to get your map out, and you got to go for it, and you got to start digging. And I think sometimes as people reach adulthood, they get kind of apathetic, and I can just coast by here. But we need to be like, kids love hidden treasure. I remember Fisher, when I first met Heather, like, he wanted treasure maps, and we, like, made maps and burnt the edges and made up our own treasure hunts for him. And kids love searching for hidden treasure. And you know, years ago when I was going to school in Houston, going to grad school there, I started this business. It was a supernatural thing that God had helped me do, but I started this business buying and selling high-end watches. And I lived in kind of a ghetto area of Houston, and I had like $40,000 worth of watches in my little apartment that could be easily broken into. So I had watches hidden in my stove, and there's a little hole under the cabinet where the sink was, like down below the baseboards, and you couldn't see the hole unless you stuck your arm down there. And just down there, I had like my gold flute and all these watches. And once my uncle and aunt and 3 little cousins, who were little kids from San Antonio, were visiting me, and I think one of them opened the oven and saw all these watches, and they were really curious. And I told them about all my hidden treasure, and they were like sticking their arm back there, feeling around, trying to. Kids just love hidden treasure, but you got to dig for hidden treasure. Don't just get apathetic. Like, apathy is the number one reason why people don't tap into that spirit of wisdom. The number two reason is pride. People who think that they know it all. You know, I don't need to listen to people of wisdom. I know more than they do. There is a lot more wisdom available to everyone. Amen? There's more. You know, you can increase in that spirit of wisdom. It's available to you, but you can increase in it. I like, even Jesus increased in wisdom. Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. You know, I can't increase in stature anymore, but I can sure increase in wisdom. And so can you. So number one, the spirit of wisdom comes from knowing Jesus. Number two, the spirit of wisdom comes through relationships. And this is where some people miss it. Don't cut off a relationship with someone who is wise. If someone is wise and brings wisdom into your life, even if sometime in the course of your relationship you have a disagreement, don't cut that relationship off. I see too many people cut off, you know, family members, cut off pastors, cut off teachers, cut off wise people who could help them a lot over silly reasons. And it's kind of rampant in the church world today, how easily offended people are, how easily people are lifted up in pride, think they know more than you. And man, wisdom, the spirit of wisdom comes through relationships. I love what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. What does that mean? He got that spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid hands on him. A lot of people, especially charismatics, think, just lay your hands on me and I'm just going to download everything you got. Just microwave that spirit of wisdom in me. Microwave every... Joshua served under Moses for 40 years. That's the laying on of hands at work there to receive a spirit of wisdom. When you receive a spirit of wisdom through relationships, it's not a microwave thing. It's something that takes years and years and years to develop. You know, I loved sitting down at lunch the other day with my dad, the Crows, Andrew Womack. My dad has had that relationship with Andrew for over 40 years. You know, and I appreciate that my dad has honored that relationship. He still honors it today. You know, our church is actually one of the biggest partners, one of the biggest supporters of Andrew Womack Ministries. And we have been since we started this church 20 years ago. And I've seen people, you know, question my dad and say, I don't know about that. And he said, no, I'm honoring that relationship. I'm going to keep honoring it. And that's how that spirit of wisdom develops. Amen. You know, this is a great statement. The most important things in life take time to grow. Woo. You cannot microwave a spirit of wisdom. You know, and here in America and even in the American church, we want to microwave a lot of things, but the most important things in life take time to grow. I'm learning that as I'm gardening now. I just planted some Mugo pine bushes. You know, I could have bought ones this tall for $300. You know, I have some nice full-grown ones that have been there for 15 years since my house was built, but I planted some new ones, and I chose to get these tiny little things for $10 instead. But it takes time to grow. I've watered them every day this summer, from May through October now, every day, hand watering. Little Ada helps me water every day. She likes to do chores with Dada. And those things haven't grown a centimeter yet. I know that the most important things in life take time. It's a lot easier to just chop something down. That's pretty fast. You know, I was telling John, my landscape expert here, that I had this Rosa Sharon, this 10-foot-tall, beautiful Rosa Sharon, and because of the crazy winter, negative 20 degrees, like a third of it died. So I went and bought a lopper and just chopped out a third of this huge big bush that probably, maybe they grow a little faster than the Mugo pines, I hope. So it's really ugly looking. It looks like a third of it on the inside is chopped out. And it took me 3 minutes to chop it out. I did it on Monday when I knew the trash was coming. I'm going to put it out in the barrels for the trash guy. And I actually saw the trash guy up the street. And I went and chopped out two barrels of branches and stuck them in there. And it took me 3 minutes. I saw him up the street and got it done by the time he was there. It's a lot easier to chop people off than to cultivate important relationships in life. Yeah, important things take time to grow, time to develop, time to mature. You know, things that grow instantly usually tend to be weeds. So don't be very careful about detaching from important relationships, especially where there's wisdom involved. Does this make sense? It takes time. You know, and I see people who cut off from wise people, wise pastors, wise teachers, wise family members. And that's a great way to decrease in the spirit of wisdom. To detach from wise people that God has given wisdom to. So, you know, if someone is wise and God has brought them into my life for a kingdom purpose, I'm going to honor that relationship. And I have mentors, I have teachers, I have people in different areas of my life who have tremendous wisdom. And I've never cut off any of those relationships. I have never cut off a pastor. I've never cut off a flute teacher. I've never cut off a professor, a conductor. I've never cut off a family member. I'm never going to cut off someone who has wisdom. This is really good teaching. Every church that I've been a part of, I've honored pastors, I've honored elders, I've honored, and I still have those relationships today. Because I know it takes time to grow things. And just chopping people off, chopping things out, That's the wrong way to go. Amen? And I kind of avoid people who just like to go chopping around all the time. So I want to increase in the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom comes through relationships. This is my last point here, but when God was kind of telling me to share on the spirit of wisdom, I just felt him tell me, I need to talk about the Holy Spirit and supernatural wisdom, but God just gave me this picture of who the Holy Spirit is concerning wisdom, and I just saw this picture of a geyser going off. The Holy Spirit is just wanting to gush out with supernatural wisdom for you on a daily basis, on a consistent basis. The Holy Spirit is not trying to withhold wisdom from you. The Holy Spirit is like a geyser wanting to gush out supernatural wisdom to the believer. And God told me to go read Proverbs 1:20. Let's read it. This is about the Holy Spirit. Did you know that Proverbs is a charismatic book in the Bible? This is talking about the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Again, stay away from scorners. Stay away from people who just scorn and chop off wise voices. Just stay away from scorners. Fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you because I have called and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then you will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. That's complacency. That's that apathy, right? Why people aren't tapping into wisdom. It's because of they just reach this complete, utter place of complacency, of apathy. We need to be digging deeper and deeper. There is more wisdom to pull out. There is more there. Amen. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So I really believe that this is talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is crying out, wanting to reveal wisdom to people, wanting to give people supernatural wisdom. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. I love that in verse 23. That's talking about that spirit of wisdom from the Holy Spirit. I will pour out my spirit on you like a geyser. The Holy Spirit is just gushing with supernatural wisdom for those who will tap into it. God wants to pour that out onto you. And just talk to the Holy Spirit. If you feel confused, if you feel distraught, if you feel like I'm going to make all these decisions just out of my carnal nature, out of carnal mindedness, just step back and have a little time with the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit just wants to gush supernatural wisdom out in your life in many ways. You know, I love what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. One of these spiritual gifts, one of these charismatic gifts from the Holy Spirit talks about wisdom, a word of wisdom. We see it in verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. What is a word of wisdom? We shouldn't be ignorant about what words of wisdom are. The word of wisdom, it is a spiritual utterance at a given moment through the Spirit, supernaturally disclosing the mind, purpose, and will of God as applied to a specific situation. Remember, several years ago, I was home on a break. My dad was considering buying a new house. It was back during the downturn. And he saw this home that had been vacant for 2 years in a really nice neighborhood, the Kissing Camels neighborhood. It had been foreclosed, vacant for 2 years. Someone had bought it, started to renovate it, did a terrible job renovating it and didn't finish it, and it had just been left there vacant for 2 years. And my dad was looking at it, considering buying it. He wanted me to see it. All I knew at that point in my life was how to blow air through a silver pipe. I had just begun to learn how to be a master at that. And as I just walked through there, I didn't know anything about real estate. I didn't know anything about the Colorado Springs real estate market. I know more now. I'm on Zillow every day. But just walking through, I just told my dad, you need to buy this. You need to get on it now because the moment you buy it, you're going to make $200,000. Add $200,000 to your net worth. You're going to buy it $200,000 under value. And he got on it. Got it under contract, sent an appraiser. It actually appraised for $200,000 over what he had it under contract for. And now it's probably worth triple what he bought it for. Now, I have a friend here at church, a young married person. He's been thinking about buying a house. been a little crazy with the lumber prices and all this stuff, but I was just on a bike ride. I felt like I should go to this particular area of town and discover that's the area he's considering getting a house. And as I was just riding around, I just felt like deep in my heart, like he needs to get on it right now. And I got home from my bike ride, called him and said, you need to get on it. The moment you buy a house, get it built, you're gonna make $100,000. And he said, that's interesting because I have a friend who's really knows real estate, really knows investing, and he said the exact same thing. I said, well, there you go. And the Holy Spirit will make you look smart. Just in areas that you, when people look at you, there's no way. He can make you look smart financially. He can make you look smart spiritually. He can make you look smart academically. He can make you look smart relationally. There's no way on my own I could have landed someone like Heather Perdue here. Just look at her. Fisher was asking me just the other day, I'll tell you something I shouldn't tell you. I'll set my pastor Aaron aside. And Fisher's school is a little further away, so we have 15 minutes each way now to discuss important things in life. And so Samuel Fisher, you know, hey, Dad, how much money do you have? And I'm like, well, I don't tell him how much money I have because I'll just want to go spend it all. But I said, well, Fisher, and I actually helped him open his first bank account. I put $500 in there. So he's really excited. I said, Fisher, you're not allowed to dip below $500. So he's like, oh, man. And I'm like, I'm telling you why, because someday, you know, you'll need to be able to buy a car. And if you want to have a girlfriend, you know, this girl, he says, I love you. You got to wait till you have a car. No girlfriends till you have a car. No money, no honey. And I said, Fisher, you got to learn how to make money, how to save money, because I'm not going to take care of you forever. Someday you're going to have to find your own girlfriend that's going to, you know, pour your Fruit Loops for you in the mornings. And I can help you with that now, but you got to learn how money works. And he's like, well, how much money do you have, Dad? And I said, well, so Fisher, the more money you have, the better looking of a girlfriend you get. And look at your mom. How much money do you think I have? And he's like, you probably have a lot of money. I'm like, you're right, Fisher. She did. Heather was blessed. She didn't, you know, marry me because she married me because of my looks. She married me because of my flute playing. You know, she, deep within her, God put this desire to marry a really awesome flute player. And our first date, she actually came to a classical concert that I played in. And I was playing with this violinist who also got his doctorate from Rice. He's now a professor in Tennessee and another piano professor here in Colorado. And I told him, like, this is my first date with her and we got to make this concert really, really good. Because this is serious. This is how I'm going to woo this woman. And it worked. So she married me for my flute playing. Anyways, I need to give you a conclusion here. And I love that. I love that we can tap into that spirit of wisdom, that supernatural spirit of wisdom that we have available to us because of Jesus, because we know Jesus. And he was anointed with that spirit of wisdom. He grew in it. We can be anointed with that. We can grow in that. I believe that God can give you, you know, divine connections with people who have wisdom in specific areas that are supposed to help you in your divine calling in life. And honor those relationships. Don't just go around chopping those things off. Again, it takes time to develop important things in life. And man, the Holy Spirit, he just wants to gush out supernatural wisdom to each and every one of you right now, no matter what issue you're facing right now. The Holy Spirit, he is there to give you liberally. And he's like this geyser just wanting to gush out, just like that voice of wisdom crying out in Proverbs 1. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And he wants to make that wisdom available to you on a daily basis. On a daily basis. And I believe understanding that and tapping into that's going to be increasingly important just in the world we're living in today. And we can't just go around running around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off, reacting just in the flesh to things that are going on. We need to hear from God, have his wisdom, tap into that, and move forward, you know, move his kingdom forward here on the earth, amen, in a big way. So my conclusion is this: the same Holy Spirit that revealed to you that Jesus is Lord, he will reveal supernatural wisdom to you. When you're facing a problem that has no natural answer, the Holy Spirit will give you supernatural answers, and he will lead you where you need to go. Amen? Amen. Awesome. All right. Well, Heather's going to come up.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.